Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Blessed be his kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O Lord, mercifully receive the prayers of your people who call upon you, and grant that they may know and understand what things they ought to do, and also may have grace and power faithfully to accomplish them. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Amos. This is what the Lord God showed me. The Lord was standing beside a wall built with a plumb line, in his hand. And the Lord said to me, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a plumb line. Then the Lord said, see, I am setting a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. Will never again pass them by. The high places of Isaac shall be made desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste, and I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to King Jeroboam of Israel, saying, Amos has conspired against you in the very center of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. For thus Amos has said, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel must go into exile away from his land. And Amaziah said to Amos, O seer, go, fly away to the land of Judah. Earn your bread there and prophesy there, but never again prophesy at Bethel, for it is the king's sanctuary, and it is a temple of the kingdom. Then Amos answered Amaziah, I am no prophet nor a prophet's son, but I am a herdsman and a dresser of sycamore trees, and the Lord took me from following the flock, and the Lord said to me, go, prophesy to my people, Israel. Now, therefore, hear the word of the Lord. You say, do not prophesy against Israel, and do not preach against the house of Isaac. Therefore, thus says the Lord, your wife shall become a prostitute in the city, and your sons and your daughters shall fall by the sword, and your land shall be parceled out by line. You yourself shall die in an unclean land, and Israel shall surely go into exile away from its land. The word of the Lord. We will read the psalm in unison. God takes his stand in the council of heaven. He gives judgment in the midst of the gods. How long will you judge unjustly and show favor to the wicked? Save the weak and the orphan. Defend the humble and needy. Rescue the weak and the poor. Deliver them from the power of the wicked. They do not know, neither do they understand. They go about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are shaken. Now I say to you, you are gods, and all of your children of the Most High. Nevertheless, you shall die like mortals and fall like any prince. Arise, O God, and rule the earth, for you shall take nations for your own.
A reading from the letter of Paul to the Colossians. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers and sisters in Christ in Colossae. Grace to you and peace from God our Father. In our prayers for you, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. For we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. You have heard of this hope before in the world of the truth, the gospel that has come to you. Just as it is bearing fruit and growing in the whole world, so it has been bearing fruit among yourselves from the day you heard it and truly comprehended the grace of God. This you learned from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, and he has made known to us your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may lead lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, as you bear fruit in every good work and as you grow in the knowledge of God. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience while joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Just then, a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" He answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this, and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was walking down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was coming down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And so likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper and said, 'Take care of him. And when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you have spent.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, the lesson from Amos begins with God standing near a wall with a plumb line in his hand. And the plumb line was to make sure that the wall was straight. And for Amos, it illustrated the problem of the people of Israel. It had come out of true line with itself, and it had come out of true line with its covenant with God. Now, Amos was no prophet until God called him. Amos had been a shepherd and a dresser of sycamore trees, and one of his jobs was to go to the sycamore tree and get the fig-like fruit and punch a hole in it so that it would have time to sweeten. And in his day, the people of Israel were divided into 2 kingdoms. We had the kingdom of Judah in the south, and the kingdom of Israel in the north. And Amos was sent from the southern kingdom to go to the northern kingdom with a severe word of judgment. As you heard, he was not welcomed. And in a certain sense, those who speak for God are not always welcomed. Now, Amos spent time in the marketplace, sitting on the ground with other shepherds, and they were able to exchange stories. Stories about the great cities. Cities like Tyre and Sidon, Samaria, which was the capital of northern kingdom. And all the while as he was sitting there, he was mulling over and getting more and more angry at the injustices of society. And I'm going to list a few, and you can go back and read the first couple chapters of Amos to see that this is what he says. I know it sounds very much like he's speaking to our world. But he talks about the extensive international commerce for the benefit of the wealthy. There are deceitful business practices which not only cheat those who are defenseless and poor, but also enables the rich to foreclose on the land and grab it for themselves. And there's archaeological evidence that shows huge consumptions of natural resources by those who have power. And we find that there were large shipments of oil and wine that were destined for the royal house. And the country, or at least many of them, were basking in the wonderful military victories of King Jeroboam II. And King Jeroboam, of course, taxed the poor. In those days, the wealthy paid no tax. So in the year 750 BC, Amos warned Israel that it could not separate its social justice, its social service, from its covenant. Or the other way around, you cannot separate your covenant with God, your baptism, from what you do in the social world of justice. And 28 years later, the kingdom of Israel, this is the year 722 BC, was crushed by the Assyrians. The people and the nation vanished from history. God was serious, I should say, is serious about social justice. Now, from time to time, I hear people lament about the declining values in our society. America is in moral decay. And what they have reference to very often is we're losing our personal relationships, we're getting too much text-wise. There's sexual behavior that is beyond the norm. And of course, family values. But it might be shocking to you that Amos is interested in none of this. His voice echoes the divine voice. In other words, it was not Amos' idea to leave the south and go to the north with this report. It was God's. And he goes there, and what he's concerned about is the morality that is associated with economics. God does care for the poor, Old Testament or New Testament. And what would you do with a God like that, who plays it so fast and loose with such important things in our society? Crucify him? Muzzle his voice? Cover your ears? Or how about just taking the scissors and cutting Amos out of the Old Testament and be done with it? I'm sure you've heard the old chestnut that the Old Testament tells us of a God who is vindictive and judgmental. The New Testament tells us about a God who is love. But a careful reading of the whole Bible will not sustain that. And the legacy that we have received from the Enlightenment, you and I, prompts this question: who are you to judge me? Who are you to judge me? But I believe that there is not one person in this cathedral who would say to God, who are you to judge me? We love God. And God loves us. We learn that in Jesus Christ. We trust God and we follow Jesus as he calls us. And one way you can tell the difference between the living and true God and a dead and fake God is that a false God will never tell you anything that will make you angry or uncomfortable. In the Bible, though, the judgments of God are part of his graciousness as the one and only true God. God only treats us as heirs. That's what Paul said, heirs of his legacy. And we are called to share that legacy, the legacy of our Heavenly Father as revealed in Jesus Christ, in a world that may not want to hear but desperately needs to. The theologian Emil Brunner, many, many years ago, spoke of God's judgment as God's resistance. Against the pressure of our sin, God offers a counter-pressure. The God of Israel and the God of the church, the God of this church, will not leave us alone. God loves us so much that he will not leave you and me to our own devices any more than a good parent would leave his or her child to its own devices. And we hear in the Gospels that God comes to us like a shepherd who is going after that one lost sheep, or the woman who sweeps her house diligently in search for one lost coin. And so in the beginning and in the end, we do not come to Jesus, but Jesus comes to us. We did not go up and bring him down, but the Father sent him to be with us and to love us. Now, this is what I find marvelous about the people of God. I'm talking about us gathered here. We come together to listen to God. We know that we are not perfect, but we seek to become more and more like Christ. Paul says it this way: from one degree of glory to another. And the glory that is in us is the character of God our Father revealed in Jesus, that we would make known to a world of pain and suffering and ugliness the glory and grace of God. Jesus says in Matthew, remember the old translation in King James, be ye therefore perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Now, Jesus is not talking about us being flawless. But the word perfect in Greek is teleos, and teleos means to be mature. Jesus is saying as you grow and grow in the Christian faith, be mature like your Father is in heaven. He lets his rain fall upon the good and the bad. As I said, we can't be sinless. I mean, just think of the demands that you have in one day. I was talking to somebody who has to spend a lot of time taking care of her elderly father. She also has to take care of the house. She also has to take care of kids. She gets in the car to go here and go there, and at the end of the day, she's not done, and a lot of things she did were perhaps missteps. But the sun comes down, and she has to go to bed, or he has to go to bed, never fulfilling the desires of the day. But we do listen to God. And one of our sure responses to the Word of God is to make confession of our sins every Sunday. Yes, we've done this, we've done that, but we've also fallen short. God knows who we are. God knows who you are. And so does the person next to you, because you have made a pretty bold confession. Things done and left undone. But that leads us to gracious words, doesn't it? The priest, like Amos, in God's name, speaks forgiveness of sins to you. And then we move on to the peace. And isn't it a joy to meet people who are honest? Honest with God? And we pray that as the Spirit dwells in us, we will be more honest with one another and have a goodly fellowship here at St. John's Cathedral. Because we love one another. Because God came to us in Jesus Christ. And on the last day we will stand before Jesus, who, according to the Nicene Creed, will judge the living and the dead. And Satan will be there, and he'll be pointing that finger. You know, one of the things I think we do not like about judgmental people is that they're always pointing their finger. Always pointing the finger at you. And Satan is good at that. Very good at that. Well, he does that in heaven before God. But what do we hear? God turns to Satan and says, look, these people have taken care of this every Sunday for year after year after year. It's done with. And he will say to you, and it's hard to believe this, except by God's grace. God will then say to you, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Come, O blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom of God prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me, and I was in prison and you came to me. And over the years, I used to be a canon here a long time ago, but over the years and over the generations, we have listened to God and been prompted by the Holy Spirit to do something about it. So take joy. You are God's delight.
Let us stand and reaffirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God,
the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth,
of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. To the Father and the Son he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and life of the world to come. Amen.
Father, we pray for all those who are suffering in any way, for the sick, the lonely, the hungry, and those in pain. I invite you to speak the names of those in need aloud. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bless this cathedral and all who walk through these doors, that we may serve you all our days. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bless the city of Jacksonville, that we may grow and prosper. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Give peace in our time, that throughout the world there may be greater understanding among all people. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Give us the wisdom and the means to care for this good earth that you have given us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Embrace the souls of all those who have died. Comfort those who mourn. I invite you to speak the names of those who have died aloud. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Let us pray for our own needs and those of others.
Almighty and eternal God, ruler of all things in heaven and earth, mercifully accept the prayers of your people and strengthen us to do your will through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all of your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, and strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be always with you. Welcome, welcome. Great to have you today. And for those of you who are visiting, please find the little card in the pew and make yourself known to us, and we will get to know you as well. We had a tremendously successful Bible school this last week. Upwards of and plus 50-some children attended. It's quite extraordinary. And I want to recognize all of you that participated. So those of you who participated in that, please stand. All right, where are you, all you folks? Okay. Ah, there you are. Beth Wilson headed up this effort and just did an extraordinary job. Celicia and friends manned the kitchen every night and sold out of hot dogs, didn't you, Celicia? Yeah, so. Anyway, it was great success, and thank you. Brotherhood of St. Andrew's Breakfast this coming Saturday, June 20th. Is this 7:30 in the morning, Aaron? Good grief. Okay. Oh. All right. I won't be there. I'm preaching next Sunday, so I'll be working on my sermon. You know. All right. We are scheduling baptisms, by the way, for August the 11th. August the 11th, for those of you who are in that tract for baptism, please contact Sue Ingeman at the church office to get the proper forms filled out and all that. Tours of this facility today are at 10:30 after this 10:30 service, or at your request during the week. That, of course, is to see those places that are in need of repair. And please do that. When you look at the air conditioning unit up there, it's really frightening. We need to get that thing fixed. So please take time to see that and contribute to that effort. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God. The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. God of all power, ruler of the universe, you are worthy of glory and praise.
Glory to you.
At your command, all things came to be. The vast expanse of interstellar space, galaxies, suns, the planets in their courses, and this fragile earth, our island home. From the primal elements, you brought forth the human race and blessed us with memory, reason, and skill. You made us the rulers of creation, but we turned against you and betrayed your trust, and we turned against one another. Again and again, you called us to return. Through prophets and sages, you revealed your righteous law. And in the fullness of time, you sent your only Son, born of a woman, to fulfill your law, to open for us the way of freedom and peace. And therefore we praise you, joining with the heavenly chorus, with prophets, apostles, and martyrs, and with all those in every generation who have looked to you in hope to proclaim with them your glory in their unending hymn. And so, Father, we who have been redeemed by him and made a new people by water and the Spirit, now bring before you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord. On the night he was betrayed, he took bread, said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his friends and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, gave thanks, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering now his work of redemption and offering to you this sacrifice of thanksgiving, we celebrate his death and resurrection as we await the day of his coming. Lord God of our fathers and mothers, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God of Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, and Leah, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, open our eyes to see your hand at work in the world about us. Deliver us from the presumption of coming to this table for solace only and not for strength, for pardon only and not for renewal. Let the grace of this Holy Communion make us one body, one spirit in Christ, that we may worthily serve the world in his name. Risen Lord, be known to us in the breaking of the bread. Accept these prayers and praises, Father, through Jesus Christ, our great high priest, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit your church gives honor, glory, and worship from generation to generation.
Amen.
Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God, take them in remembrance that Christ died for you and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ be with you to defend you, within you to keep you, before you to guide you, beside you to guard you, and above you to bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
Let us go forth in the name of Christ.
Amen.